quickened into life under the impulse of a single brain. To each his own particular branch of this difficult art. The artist knows one joy, the soldier another. What delights the businessman leaves the politician cold. But however much each section of society abuses the ambitions or morals of the other, all worship equally at the same shrine. No man really wants to spend his whole life as a reporter, a clerk, a subaltern, a private member, or a curate. Downing Street is as attractive as the oak leaves of the Field Marshal. York and Canterbury as pleasant as a dominance in Lombard Street or Burlington House. For my own part, I speak only of the field of success I know, the world of ordinary affairs. And I start with a contradiction in terms. Success is a constitutional temperament bestowed on the recipient by the gods. And yet you may have all the gifts of the fairies and fail utterly. Man cannot add an inch to his stature, but by taking thought he can walk erect. All the gifts given at birth can be destroyed by a single curse. Like all human affairs, success is partly a matter of predestination and partly of free will. You cannot make the genius, but you can either improve or destroy it. And most men and women possess the assets which can be turned into success. But those who possess the precious gifts will have both to hoard and to expand them. What are the three qualities which make for success? They are three: judgment, industry, and health. And perhaps the greatest of these is judgment. These are the three pillars which hold up the fabric of success. But in using the word judgment, one has said everything. In the affairs of the world, it is the supreme quality. How many men have brilliant schemes, and yet are quite unable to execute them? And through their very brilliancy, stumble unawares upon ruin. For round judgment there cluster many hundred qualities, like the setting round a jewel. The capacity to read the hearts of men, to draw an inexhaustible fountain of wisdom from every particle of experience in the past, and turn the current of this knowledge into the dynamic action of the future. Genius goes to the heart of a matter, like an arrow from a bow. But judgment is the quality which learns from the world what the world has to teach, and then goes one better. Shelley had genius, but he would not have been a success in Wall Street. Though the poet showed a flash of business knowledge in refusing to lend money to Byron. In the ultimate resort, judgment is the power to assimilate knowledge and to use it. The opinions of men and the movement of markets are all so much material for the perfected instrument of the mind. But judgment may prove a sterile capacity if it is not accompanied by industry. The mill must have grist on which to work, and it is industry which pours in the grain. A great opportunity may be lost, and an irretrievable error committed by a break brief in the ludicrousy of the intellect or the train of thought. He who would be Caesar anywhere, says Kipling, must know everything everywhere. Nearly everything comes to the man who is always all there. Men are not really born either hopelessly idle or preternaturally industrious. They may move in one direction or the other, as will or circumstances dictate. But it is open to any man to work. Hogarth's industrious and idle apprentice point a moral, but they do not tell a true tale. The real trouble about industry is to apply it in the right direction, and it is therefore the servant of judgment. The true secret of industry, well applied, is concentration. And there are many well-known ways of learning that art, the most potent handmaiden of success. Industry can be acquired, it should never be squandered. But health is the foundation of both judgment and industry, and therefore of success. And without health, everything is difficult. Who can exercise a sound judgment if he is feeling irritable in the morning? Who can work hard if he is suffering from a perpetual feeling of malaise?